Funniest, most piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army. And
the hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa, True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights, and Beautiful Beginnings. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
And TV, apparently it can be a pretty toxic combination, particularly for kids. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which reports on new studies showing that the type of advertising kids see on television can make a dramatic difference in how much food they eat afterward. And friends, our kids are eating too much food. By 2010, fully one half of American kids are going to be overweight or obese. Fully one half. You know what that figure was in 1970? About 4%. Now, I've often maintained that when it comes to our kids, we don't like to say no as a nation. We don't like to say no to ourselves, after all. We're becoming increasingly unable to delay our passions. We as adults are seeing an epidemic of obesity, and we're passing that on to our kids with all of the health problems that come with it. Yes, there is cheap available junk food, but you know what? That was true when I was a kid. You know, look, I remember an early 1970s commercial. I can visualize this. This is the impact it made on me, in which a bunch of kids were sitting around after school, gasp, watching TV, scandalous, and the mother, sort of Mrs. Brady lookalike, comes into the TV room with a big platter of Hostess treats to serve to her kids. This is stamped on my memory card in my brain, okay? And I remember asking my mom to provide such fare. You know, why couldn't she do like the nice lady on TV? And of course, my mother said, there is no chance of that happening here ever. So you know what? I usually kind of poo-poo the whole TV is causing childhood obesity type research. But I have to say, this study is a little different. And I'll tell you more about it in a minute. You are listening to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart on AIM 1160 WYLL. I am here with producer Lynn. Between us, we have 9 young kids. We like to say we drive the population control folks nuts, and that's a fine thing. And you know, friends, on other shows, they like to talk about what's going on in the world, and that's great, but we like to talk about what's going on in your world, what's important to your home and family. We like to say that our ultimate goal for our children is heaven, not Harvard, though if our kids do stop in to Harvard on the way to heaven, we hope we're raising the kind of people who could do it some good there. You can visit me anytime on betsysblog.com, and later we'll be talking to a special guest from Hollywood about summer movie blockbusters, and is Hollywood getting maybe a little more family-friendly? It's about time, but right now, it's back to the small screen and kids and food. Lynn, here's what this article said. Now, you know, your kids don't watch TV, so you're safe, but for the rest of us, Tara Parker Pope writes in the Wall Street Journal that in 2 similar studies, researchers in Liverpool compared the effects of television advertising on the eating habits of 152 kids between the ages of 5 and 11. In both studies, the kids watched 10 ads followed by a cartoon. And my kids would have loved this. In one session, the kids saw ads for toys before they watched a video. But in another, the toys were replaced by food advertising. Well, after the 5 to 7-year-old kids saw the food ads, they ended up eating 14 to 17% more calories than after the toy ads, according to one study. But the changes were even more dramatic among the 9 to 11-year-olds. They ate from 84% to 134% more calories after being exposed to food ads compared with their snack intake after watching toy advertising. It's also according to the research in another study. Notably, in the study of older children, get this, kids who were overweight or obese to begin with not only ate more after viewing food ads, but they were more likely to eat sugary and high-fat foods. Now, so this is where I have to say, you know what? Maybe TV is having some impact, or is it kind of a catch-22? This is what we've come to expect. Kids want that food. We've programmed these kids to want those high-fat, sugary foods, and that's what they're asking for. I don't know.
I'm just reeling from these statistics. You're telling me that by 2010, 50% of our kids are going to be overweight.
Right.
And in 1970, that statistic was
4%. It was right around 4%. And I'll put all that up on my blog, by the way, betsysblog.com, all those links, as well as the link to this Wall Street Journal article, because that's just scary.
That really is frightening. And then if children watch a food ad, the 9 to 11-year-olds, basically, they're going to eat 100% more calories than had it not been a food ad, which begs the question, are the advertisers actually trying to get them to eat at that moment?
I don't think they care if they eat at that moment. They just care if they get them to ask for the foods when the commercial's over. They just want them to go to their parents and say, I need the Twinkies and the Ho-Hos. I don't think they care if they're consumed in the next hour or in the next week. They just want that stuff in the house on a regular basis. So whenever the kids want it, you know.
And if the kids nag the parents enough, then the parents will buy it for them.
Well, that is... Imagine that. I mean, yeah, because my kids nag me a lot for stuff. And sure, and guess what? There's times when I cave.
Sometimes you're full. You're just too tired of saying no.
Exactly. And there's times I will walk in occasionally with my kids love Oreos. And I love Oreos, too.
Oh, I was going to say, I think apples don't fall too far from the tree.
All right. I love Oreos. Okay. So I will come in with a box and usually what I have to do is literally regulate it or divide up the cookies and say you can have two right now. But if the box gets in before I do that, my four kids are capable of devouring an Oreo box of cookies. And I mean, there's got to be 40 or 50 cookies in there,
right,
Lynn.
Right.
And they will go in less than 25 minutes. And so, I mean, they're eating 10 cookies a piece. I'm not making this up.
Well, I mean, and I know, at least myself, when I start to eat sugar, I crave sugar. I'll eat more and more. I mean, really, it's kind of an addiction, and that's probably what's happening to your kids.
But at some point, you have to say, you know what, we'll occasionally bring the box of Oreos in as a treat or make a cake or whatever.
Right.
We're not going to train our kids to eat this. And I have people, you know, hear people bemoaning these weight problems in their kids. And then I look over and they're on the second pack of chips or the third cookie or, you know, a piece of cake right before dinner. And I just think at some point we parents have to step in and say, okay, yes, there's a lot of junk food. Yes, portions are bigger today. That's all true. But it's up to us to just sometimes say no. And according to the article in the Journal, next week the Federal Trade Commission, quote, will hold a forum on the issue of food marketing to kids and whether more regulation is needed. You know what? I think there is more regulation needed, and I think most of all it has to come from the parents. Turn the TV set off. No, you can't have that. Put out a bowl of nuts or apples or grapes, the kinds of foods that are wholesome and can sit out for, you know, extended period of time.
And that fill you up,
and
too.
And that fill you up, especially the nuts, I think, are very helpful in that regard. Get rid of the sodas. Make water available. And if that's the stuff that's easy to get, that's the stuff my kids will go for. Now, if it's sitting there next to a box of cookies, they're going to go for the cookies. And sometimes the cookies are there. But if you make that kind of stuff more easy to get to, you've shown me that, then... You know, that's one way to address some of this issue. But I think the big issue is when it comes to weight and kids, it really does take a parent, our theme on the show. Well, now from the small screen to the big screen, we are joined by Charlie Nelson. Charlie is a good friend of Lynn's and mine, formerly a top executive at the Walt Disney Company and now vice president at Grace Hill Media in Hollywood, which markets films, certain films, to family and Christian groups, for instance. You know what? They were behind the promotion for the film, The Nativity Story, this past Christmas. And Lenny, I got to tell you, I went to a pre-screening, thanks to Charlie. And I literally remember thinking, this film from a mainline studio is actually presenting Christ as the Savior. Is that even legal? Charlie Nelson, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hello, Betsy. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Are you?
Very good.
Yeah, we are glad to have you here. You know, summer, obviously, it's a big movie time, lots of big films out. And I know my kids have ticked off, you know, the five films that are out right now that they want to see. Nancy Drew, of course, Harry Potter's coming out. Ratatouille, we haven't seen yet. They go through a list. I'm frankly adding up the bill, and I'm thinking five of us to five, you know, first run movies, that's about $200. So I think we'll save some of those for when they hit the little theater down the street at the $2. But tell me some of the films that you're excited about this summer, some of the ones Grace Hill is most involved in promoting to kids and families.
Well, I know it's a great company, but I must interject that the you know, you can save a lot of money on the big popcorn tub, especially from your previous discussion on child obesity.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, you could if you weren't married to my husband, whom you know, and he will not see a movie without a big container of butter pop.
All right. So,
and by the way, it was Anne Blythe, Academy Award nominated Anne Blythe, who was that mom in those Hostess commercials when we were growing up.
You remember that? What? Oh.
So I actually worked at Disney with her daughter and met her several times. And they're all skinny. So
okay.
I think your statistics back when we were growing up, the lower percentages is quite accurate.
All right. Well, tell me about some of the films that you're excited about this summer.
No.
And then, you know, we'll talk about Hollywood, too, because you and I have talked about it might be getting a little more family-friendly.
Right. Well, as you can imagine, I have an affinity for Disney after being
of
there
course.
For 18 years, so you got to get out and see Ratatouille, which is an absolutely wonderful film.
It's gotten great reviews.
Great reviews. Absolutely beautiful. A little more adult. There weren't as many, let's say, the sight gags, the true kid drawing, but, you know, my kid saw it. It's an hour and 50 minutes. It's a little longer than most animated films, but it's got an absolutely wonderful story about, you know, going after your dreams.
Yeah.
And it was universally, like I said, 99% out there were loving the film, whether it be secular or Christian audiences.
Mm, great.
And it's still holding on really well. The box office drop hasn't been great, you know, hasn't been severe, so it's holding up there with all the new releases coming out.
And some of those other ones, like Transformers, has apparently just been raking in the dough.
Is in there. This is where, you know, we are, let's say, a Christian entertainment marketing firm, but we do the faith and family. So you don't need to be Nativity Story or Passion or Narnia for us to be able to tap into let's say, the Christian markets. Something that was quite unusual for probably the first time this has happened was with the film Evan Almighty. Albeit it was number one in its opening weekend, which was fantastic. The folks at Universal got it out there. Unfortunately, it did get dinged a little bit by the entertainment press for not doing as good of box office as the first time around.
You mean with Bruce Almighty?
As Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. This was Steve Carell from The Office.
Right.
But, you know, and it was admitted, you know, half the box office of $33 million was garnered by frequent churchgoers. The stats came in, and usually they don't do those type of stats on
those films. Interesting. Okay.
So, you know, we feel real fortunate that our campaigns were sticky. We Universal.
Sticky. Now that's a nice industry word.
It is. It's very sticky. We did for our first.
It means
time.
You had an impact.
Pardon me?
Does that mean you had an impact? Sticky. You.
Yes.
Okay.
Things stuck. We had a fantastic campaign that's still going on, called Arc Almighty. It had very little reference to the film, but it's called, you know, basically Arc was Acts of Random Kindness.
Okay.
And we got over 9,000 churches to sign up, and it's still going.
So
our benchmark was to get 7.
And are you saying this Arc Almighty campaign was, in fact, to entice people to see Heaven Almighty?
It was a complimentary campaign. There were no references to the film in this marketing. It was a tool to do acts of random kindness, to do good deeds, whether it be in your church or out in the community. Now, if you go to the ArcAlmighty.com website, there is a link to the trailer, but that's really the only place you see it. We just kind of wanted to get this momentum going in advance of the film.
So you even take films that don't have an overt religious background or message, say, unlike Evan Almighty, which does, and you take them sometimes to the Christian community. What are some of the films that you've done where you said, you know what, this has kind of a family orientation or something families might enjoy, or sometimes it's just a wholesome, uplifting message, even if it's not overtly spiritual like some of these?
Well, no, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, We are always complimentary to, let's say, a studio or a network's mainstream campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there. Let's admit it. You know, 68% of
You don't think
country,
so, really? There's lots of Christians out there?
Hallelujah.
Surprise. 68% of this country goes to some sort of organized service every month.
Mm-hmm.
That's over two-thirds of this country. That's a lot of bodies. What is that? That's over 200 million people these days.
Yeah, I don't do math that fast.
So, you know, if we can help, let's say, reinforce a film that does have a good message, you know, it's hit or miss. If a movie's bad, whether you're an atheist, a Catholic, a born-again, evangelical, Methodist, whatever, if it's not a good movie, it's not going to click.
Yeah.
And we're just there because we have fostered relationships out there where if something that we just have a pretty good eye of what will work and what won't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not working on slasher movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I think you do is interesting, which is that you do try to say for a Christian to be excited about a film, it doesn't have to necessarily have an overtly religious message. And I get frustrated, and you and I have talked about this, I get frustrated with some in the Christian community who will just automatically say, it has to be a G film if I'm going to see it. And I think, no, we can be a little more complicated than that. I mean, I thought, for instance, I don't think this was anything to do with Grace Hill Media, but I love the Matrix movies. I thought they were just phenomenal and brilliant and powerful. I loved Crash. I love that my kids can watch these movies. And yes, they're rated R, and I will let my kids see some powerfully well-done R-rated movies that I think are well-made and have powerful messages. But sometimes, do you get pushback from the Christian community that sort of thinks, why are you marketing a secular film to me?
With as many people as we go out to, whether it be advertising, publicity, promotions, of course we're going to get pushback. There was pushback on Evan Almighty because they felt that in the title, Almighty was used, and that's blasphemous.
Oh, interesting.
But,
okay.
You know, we never hid the fact that this was a mainstream summer tentpole comedy. Nobody in this business, and this business has been around 6 or 8 years prior to Passion of the Christ, surprisingly enough, as everybody just seems that's where it started. You know, a comedy of that level has never been promoted as heavily and deeply into the Christian marketplace as Evan.
Now, let me say the big awaited film of the summer, of course, is the new Harry Potter film, which opens this weekend.
Correct.
Is Grace Hill Media promoting that at all? Or are you all standing by to see what a blockbuster it's going to be?
We're not. There is such, because it's a series and it's a repeat, just as we were not on Pirates of the Caribbean. And, you know, Pirates is a little dark maybe for our audience.
And I wondered if maybe Harry Potter was too, because I know some Christians have some concerns about that.
Harry Potter is. We worked on the first one, but, you know, once these franchises get going, you know, it does take on a life of their own.
Right. Yeah. And I don't, you know, and I really, like, again, I will go to see the Harry Potter film again. I just think there's some really entertaining and very uplifting elements, at least to the first ones. And I'll check this one out before we actually go to see it. But I was very positive about them. And again, I get a little bit frustrated with sometimes in the Christian community that it's not always so cut and dry. And I think we have to think in a little more nuanced way and be a little more open to God's amazing creation and a little more creative sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you guys are out there doing that. Well,
sometimes our message, which you know, runs complementary to, let's say, the mainstream world's marketing message.
Yeah.
But we sometimes dig down a little deeper or unearth nuggets, let's say, within a property that would not typically be exposed.
Within a film that people might,
If we're going to reach out to our demographic, those are things that they need to know.
Yeah, well, exactly, where they might not say, oh, there's the nugget of that sort of family orientation in that film. On the other hand, I get frustrated with movies like Click that were passed off as very pro-family and very sweet, and then I go to see it with my kids, and I'm mortified with embarrassment because there was a lot of sexual innuendo that was not clear. So, you know, I think we parents have a responsibility to be kind of careful about some of this stuff,
true,
too. But, you know, Charlie, we have to run to a break, but stay put. I'm going to ask you when we come back about something Ben Affleck said to me, which made me nuts, and which I think tells us a lot about the Hollywood mindset. Or am I painting with too broad a brush? Stay with us on It Takes a Parent. We'll be right back.
When your child says,
why do I need to learn this?
The truth is,
I don't understand it.
When your child says,
I don't like school.
The truth is,
everybody reads better than I do.
When your child says,
who cares about college?
The truth is,
I have bad grades.
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. Right now, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Find out if your child is on track or needs a little bit of help. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call Karen at 847-395-6741 to make your appointment today. 847-395-6741. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Strip Mall. 847-395-6741.
A new baby is on the way. A beautiful beginning for you and your family. You can't wait. But what will you need to prepare? Beautiful beginnings. At Beautiful Beginnings, you'll find everything you need for your baby's nursery, from the fine furnishings to the beautiful art for the walls. When you walk into Beautiful Beginnings, you'll get the sense of a new baby right down to the smell. The owners and staff are experienced moms. They have 30 children between them, so the knowledge about babies and products in their store is priceless. Their designers will help you decorate and design your baby's nursery with all the things you'll need and many unique things you won't find anywhere else. Find out why people from all over the Chicagoland area shop Beautiful Beginnings. Visit Beautiful Beginnings today for the 40% off sale on spring-summer apparel. Fall apparel is arriving soon. Beautiful Beginnings in Western Springs and now open in Chicago in Lincoln Park or online at shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. That's shopbeautifulbeginnings.com. Beautiful Beginnings, celebrating babies since 1995. Welcome back to It Takes a Parent on AM 1160 WYLL. You're here with Betsy Hart and producer Lynn talking about Hollywood with our friend from Hollywood, Grace Hill Media Vice President Charlie Nelson. You can visit the show or me or our wonderful sponsors at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. But right now we're talking about movies. And as I left, I sort of did the ultimate in name dropping, referred to something Ben Affleck said to me. But this happened to be on the old Bill Maher show. Charlie, remember that? Politically yeah. Incorrect. And Bill Maher was one of the guests, and well, he was the host, but Ben Affleck was one of the guests. And let's be clear, he wouldn't know me from a piece of cheese if he saw me. So I'm not pretending otherwise. But on the show, you know, he was the leftist person and so forth. And I was talking about movies and I referred to the cost of movies. And I said, you know, what you folks don't understand is for an average family of four or five people to go to a first run film is, you know, $40, $50, even $60 if you want to do the popcorn like Lynn's husband Eric would make you do. And he just had this arrogant, oh, give me a break. You're really breaking my heart. And I wanted to break his neck because I thought, you don't understand what real life is like for almost everybody else out there, but the super rich superstars. And there is this sense that Hollywood is just so arrogant. It's just so does not get real America. You and I have said, well, maybe that's changing a little bit just for pocketbook reasons as more films go PG instead of R to attract that audience. But do you still find that kind of that arrogant separation or am I painting with too broad a brush? Are we just too worried about Hollywood and too nervous about it in a way we shouldn't be?
In a sense, that might not have been explained very well by him because...
Oh, now you're going to stick up for Ben Affleck?
I'm going to stick up for the value that a movie can have compared to, let's say, other endeavors that families go out to.
No, and I see that point, because if you're going to go to a ball game, it's a lot more expensive, and I totally get that.
But if there's an insensitive factor about what people do have to pay, it is getting more expensive out there.
Yeah, and
but
I just...
The value is... I went to the zoo the other day, and that cost me $10.
Yeah, no, so. I just thought it spoke to an arrogance and a separation of Hollywood from the rest of America.
Well, yeah, when you make $30 bucks a year and you fly around
yeah.
on Learjets, go figure. You tend to get a little insensitive to people, other people's pocketbooks.
Right, and I just think that's one of the things that drives sometimes Christian and family groups nuts. And that's one of the things that obviously Grace Hill tries to overcome a little bit and build those bridges. But one of the things you and I have talked about, Charlie, in the past is this growing trend in PG and PG-13 movies versus R because Hollywood is getting that more people want to be able to take their kids to movies with them.
Yes. The light went off several years ago. The light went off that you can do it. So, for instance, the fourth Die Hard film movie has come out.
Uh-huh.
It's going to do better than all the other three, not combined, but it will do better than the original three box office grosses did. So
because it's rated PG-13 instead of R?
That is one factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, 15 years since the last one, you know, that is speaking either to Bruce Willis's star
yeah,
power,
wow, right.
Or, you know, the action adventure, and it's been toned down in a bit.
Hmm.
You know, the biggest thing that drives me crazy after I've been at the company here for a year now is being a little more sensitive to the G word, you know, the G, D, and H word that seems to be prevalent in films, whether it be PG films, R films, or the like.
Okay.
Drives me crazy because it is an easy overcome.
In other words, it's gratuitous. It doesn't have to happen.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And that was why, going back to the Click film, I wish we had more time, there was some gratuitous sex scenes in there. I just thought, they don't need to be here. It's a cute, powerful film in many ways. unfortunately, a lot of the language, a lot of the sex is gratuitous. Sometimes that's integral to a story. If you have a mob movie, it's pretty key that some of that's going to be there. That's real life. I don't like when it's gratuitous. And maybe, Charlie, you can stick up for us out there in Hollywood and get them to change their ways. We'd love for you to come back and keep checking in with us on kind of a regular basis and tell us what your friends are doing out there and what you're doing to tell them about us out in real America. That's what we need you to do. We need you to tell them about what's going on with the real Americans, as we like to call them. Charlie, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you soon.
Betsy.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And friends, thank you for joining us on It Takes a Parent. And thanks to our wonderful sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa, Beautiful Beginnings for Babies and Children, and True North Mortgage. Remember, you can visit me anytime and get a podcast of the show and my new feature on my blog, The Daily Parenting Tip, on betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com. Next week, we talk to Jeff Zaslow of the Wall Street Journal about his belief that it was Mr. Rogers and his neighborhood, which ushered in the state of entitlement our kids inhabit today. So you'll want to come back for that next week. And meanwhile, remember the words of Paul to the Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. See you next week.